are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, and welcome back to Locked On Brewers, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, where we talk about your favorite teams each and every day. And I'm your host, Jake Mastriani. You can follow me on Twitter at ShortstopBall. Check out my bio there to see everywhere I am covering the great game of baseball. Also, make sure you follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Brewers and subscribe to the Locked On Brewers podcast wherever you get your podcast. And thanks for making Locked On Brewers your first listen each and every day. Just as a reminder, we post episodes daily, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, and we are free and available on all platforms. Also, this episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. On today's podcast, we're going to talk about the Silver Slugger Awards finalists and Willy Adames and Omar Narvaez, their chances of winning the award. We're also going to talk about what do the Brewers do with Keston Hira, a question many Brewers fans are probably asking right now. So we're going to talk about that and what the plan should be with him going forward. But it's also World Series Day. I know disappointment with the Brewers not being there. They had a team that definitely could have been there. The team that knocked them out is going to be there. Another team that I cover in the Atlanta Braves. But if you're a baseball fan like I am, hopefully the disappointment has worn off so that you can enjoy the World Series. Because, you know, while I, you know, do have the teams that I root for, I try to take out a rooting interest in a lot of games that I watch, and I'm always going to watch the World Series. You know, even if it's two teams I hate, I'm going to watch the World Series. It's the last baseball games of the year that you're going to get. It's the biggest stage. It's the best players, the brightest lights. So I always enjoy watching the World Series. Hopefully you do too. Hopefully you will turn in and watch, and hopefully you'll be cheering against those cheating Astros, as Vinny called them on Monday's podcast. But should be a really fun World Series game one starting tonight. So make sure that you tune in to see that. And again, let me know your thoughts on Twitter, who you're rooting for, who you think's going to win in all of that. And when do you think the Brewers will win the World Series? Or when do you think they'll at least make it to the World Series? Again, I thought they had a team good enough to get there this year. I think they're on the cusp. But hopefully they'll break through here in the next couple of seasons. But happy World Series Day. As I said at the top, this episode is brought to you by our friends at rockauto.com. There are so many different makes and models of automobiles these days, it's impossible to stock all the parts your car will ever need in your traditional chain store. So why worry with the hassle of answering a bunch of questions about your car at a chain store and just hoping they have the parts you need when you have the inventory of rockauto.com right there in your pocket? You can pull them up on your cell phone and find any make and model of any kind of auto part that your car will ever need. And there are so many different reasons to maintain your automobile these days, but the biggest one is obviously to save money. Why would you choose to spend 30, 50, sometimes even 100% more for the exact same auto part at a chain store or new car dealership? They have everything you can need, from brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. So go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your vehicle, and do us a favor, write Locked On in there, how did you hear about us box, so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. So the Silver Slugger Award finalists were announced on Monday, and the Brewers had a couple of players on that list. Probably not players you would have expected to be on this list when the season began, but nonetheless, here we are, and Willy Adames is one of the finalists for the shortstop position. Obviously, as you all know, Brewers traded for Adames in late May, and after coming over, was one of the best shortstops in all of baseball. Really until the last month of the season, really last half month of the season, when he was banged up and went on the IL for a while, really kind of just slowed down a little bit there. But even in the postseason, he had several hits. You know, he didn't quite come up in those big moments like we are used to seeing from him, but did hit pretty well in the postseason. Just looking at it now, he was 5-for-17 in the postseason, so a .294 average. But no walks and 9 strikeouts. So, again, not really what we were used to seeing from Adames since he came over, coming up with the big hits. Did have a double in the series, and, you know, based, you know, when you comparatively to what the rest of the Brewers offense did, Adamas five hits, you know, is a standout in the series. But really just what he did to the offense in general when he came over, you know, he became that MVP corner piece that Christian Yelich was supposed to be. And I mean, that's what the lineup was built around for 2 to 3 months there since he came over. Again, really until the end of the year when he was banged up and then missed some time on the IL. There's a lot of talk about him being in the MVP conversation, even though he switched leagues and was in the American League with the Rays for 2 months of the season, which would have just been unthinkable. But he was in that conversation. He was having that type of year. And just looking at overall with the Brewers, 3.9 WAR. I mean, the guy accumulated 4 WAR in, you know, less than 100 games with the Brewers. / 285, 366, 521. Had 20 home runs, 61 runs, and 58 RBI in 99 games played with the Brewers. So just incredible stuff that Adamas was able to do for this team. Again, just that spark plug offensively really carried the offense for a while, always coming up with the big hits, creating a spark, energizing the rest of the team. I mean, I know this is just a Silver Slugger award, so it's going to be based strictly on his offense, but what he brought to the Brewers team in 2021, I don't think any of us will ever forget. He completely changed the trajectory of this team and really put them, set them up to take the division, you know, win as many games as they did with 95 wins going into the postseason. So he was just a really huge bat. He's not going to win the Silver Slugger Award, spoiler alert. But Fernando Tatis Jr. and Trey Turner, unfortunately, also play shortstop, and they are up there in the MVP discussion as well. So it'll likely come down to one of them as to who's going to win the award at shortstop. But Adamas is definitely deserving to be a finalist with the offensive season that he had. And, you know, what you compare that with the fact that, you know, he wasn't good at all for the Rays before they traded him over. He was batting 197 with the Rays, 5 home runs in 41 games. So, I mean, he completely turned it around, really transformed his game when he came over with the Brewers. So, just love what he did. Obviously, I'm so excited that he's going to be a Brewer for a while, be the shortstop of the Milwaukee Brewers for a while, what he did for this team. Again, he deserves some sort of award. I don't know if he'll win any, but I think he definitely is deserving of a lot of high praise for what he did for this Brewers offense. And then the other finalist is Omar Narvaez. We talked about Narvaez on Monday. I think he's somebody the Brewers should think about extending this offseason and keeping him around for 2 or 3 more years. I think he's been that good of a hitter. 2020 was definitely an outlier for him. You look at his entire career, he's been consistently a really good hitter and came along with the defense as well. Obviously, the Silver Slugger only focuses on the offense, where he had 2.9 WAR, 266, 342, 402 slash line, 11 home runs, 54 runs scored, 49 RBI in 123 games played. I mean, just thinking on his season without looking at the stats, I really thought he hit like close to 20 home runs. That's what it felt like. But only 11 home runs, that's really going to hurt him in the slugging department, obviously, and hold him back from really being a contender for this award, which is probably going to go to Buster Posey with the season that he had for the Giants, really just a resurgence of a season for Buster Posey. But again, Omar Narvaez definitely deserving of being here. You know, he also missed some time this year to the IL, or else his counting numbers would probably be better. But what a just great bounce back season for Omar Narvaez. The numbers that he put up at the plate, what he was able to do defensively for this team. Again, a lot like Adamas, you know, he was just really key. You know, even before Adamas came over, again, talked about it on Monday's podcast, Narvaez was there, you know, in the beginning when the offense wasn't great. He and Avisail Garcia were two of the consistent pillars in the lineup, you know, especially with Yelich out early and not performing well. You know, those two guys really carried this offense for a good chunk of the early season. So a lot of credit to Omar Narvaez. Glad to see him be a finalist here. Again, not going to win the award, but definitely deserving of being among, or mentioned among, the best catchers offensively in all of the National League this past season. Take another break, and then we'll come back and talk about Keston Hiura and what the plan should be for him going forward. BetOnline is back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back on to start another football season. And as always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use promo code NFL100. From football, baseball, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for your 2021 season. Bet online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. All right, so let's jump into Keston Hiura. Just a topic that's probably we're probably going to talk about a lot this offseason just because it is so important. It's so impactful for what this team does going forward, because honestly a lot of the positions could really be taken right now. I mean, I don't see a place for Keston Hiura to get in the lineup unless the DH comes into play, and then, you know, he would be the perfect candidate for that. But I mean, he doesn't have an easy path to playing time. He's running out of minor league options. I think he may be out of minor league options at this point. So it's going to be a big offseason for Keston Hiura and the Brewers and what they plan to do with him. I know David Stearns talked in his post or after the season meeting conference there that they are thinking about moving him to the outfield. My immediate reaction to that was, why? I don't understand, and I didn't hear the question, so I apologize if maybe the context fit that response, but let's let the guy figure out how to hit before we change him to another position. I mean, I'm not saying moving to first base had a lot to do with why he struggled offensively in 2021, but I definitely don't think it helped. So why are we now going to shift him to the outfield and make him learn to play another position when the guy really just needs to focus on hitting? So for me, I heard that comment. I was just like, I don't understand. That doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, I get it, trying to add some versatility, find a place for him to get into the lineup, but I don't care about that. I don't care where he plays. I don't care where they want to stick him. For me, this guy has to figure out how to hit. He's got to spend all offseason going through video, you know, working with whoever the new hitting coach is going to be, going back to a hitting coach he's had success with in the past, doing whatever he needs to do to find out mechanically what's going wrong with his swing, because we're 2 years now where he just hasn't found it. And, you know, he had that great little stretch in AAA when he first got sent down, but you look at his AAA numbers to end the season, you know, and he was out there for a little while because of COVID. I mean, it wasn't great to end the year in AAA either. So to me, this is a lost season for him in a lot of ways, because he was never able to fully turn things around and figure it out at the plate. So he's got to work all offseason to try and figure that out. What's going on? You know, how can he do a better job of swinging at pitches in the zone, making sure that he's making solid contact when he does get a pitch in the zone? You know, finding, we've talked about it ad nauseum on the podcast here, me and Vinny, just breaking down his swing. You know, for me, it's a tough timing type swing because of that high leg kick. You know, maybe he needs to think about adjusting that a little bit so he can be on time for a lot of these pitches, because with that big of a leg kick, it's hard to stay on time, and it's very easy for the opposing pitcher to get you off balance like that. So he's got to change something. Obviously, again, this is 2 years now, just hasn't gotten it going. You know, we talked so much about Christian Yelich and him needing to figure it out this offseason and what kind of player he's going to be. You know, Keston Hiura maybe even more so. I mean, because right now, I mean, he's a 52 WRC plus player. I mean, he is worse than below average. I mean, he is not a major league player at this point, and the Brewers are still counting on him to be a major factor in the lineup. So For me, I give him the entire offseason just to work on his swing. I don't even talk about positions with him, where he's going to play. I don't worry about that at all. Don't pick up a glove all offseason. Don't worry about defense. The DH is likely coming at some point, and we'll worry, you know, about that when we get there. You spend all offseason working on your swing, working on the mechanics, figuring out how to get that right, and then we'll see what happens in spring training. Again, looking at the Fangraphs page for him now, it's saying he has one more minor league option, but I'm thinking that was before the 2021 season, so I don't know if that's been updated yet. So I'll keep you updated on that once I find out. But if he doesn't have any minor league options left, it's a really tough situation with him this offseason, because what do you do? Do you try to trade Keston Hira? You'd be trading him at an all-time low value. It's not like he's costing you a ton of money right now, still in his arbitration season, but I just don't know. I don't know where you fit him in this team. I don't know how much you can count on him bouncing back. I don't think you trade him, but then again, if you have to keep him on the major league roster, I don't know where he plays, and he needs to get at bat. So if it were me, I would shop him this offseason and see if you can attach him to a Jackie Bradley Jr. or you know, somebody else. You're trying to save some money. You know, see if maybe you can work him in a deal like that, because I don't think you're going to get much for him in terms of prospects. If you just traded him for prospects, I don't think that's going to be worth it at this point. But if you could tie a big contract to him and save money that way, I think that could be worth it. But in the end, I think he breaks camp with the Brewers. I think they evaluate him in spring training, see what kind of adjustments he's made, what type of hitter he's going to be. But I would not be counting on him at all when you're thinking about the 2022 season and what kind of factor he's going to be. I would just not be counting on any production from him, because you just don't know. He's too much of a question mark at this point. We really won't know. We won't even really know after spring training. I mean, Eric Lauer looked like the worst pitcher on earth in spring training, and then was able to turn around and become one of the best pitchers in all of baseball in the second half. So spring training doesn't always tell you exactly, you know, what the outcome is going to be. So, I mean, we really may not even know on Keston until a couple of months into next season. But obviously, spring training is where it's going to start, where you're going to have to try. The coaches are going to have to try really hard to see the adjustments he's made and if they believe that's going to work out. If it was me, like I said, I would first look to see if I could attach a big contract to him and trade him. If not, then I would obviously keep him around and see what he does in spring training, and then go from there, decide if you think he can be a bench bat. You know, if he does have a minor league option left, then I think it's pretty easy to just send him down. That would be the best case scenario. But if not, then, I mean, you got to consider if he can be a bench bat and somebody who starts three or four times a week. You know, can he be a utility player? Or if there is a DH, you know, you can probably start him easily, you know, four or five times a week. But for me, that's one of the biggest questions going into the offseason: what to expect from Keston Hira next year. What's he going to look like? How are the Brewers going to handle him this offseason? Will they look to dangle him out in trades and see what they can get for him? See if there's any interest in him? Or, like I said, maybe attach him to a contract. So I think Keston Hira is a name that we're going to hear a lot this offseason. I think you're going to hear things, reports about him, you know, working on his mechanics, feeling good about his swing, feeling positive about next year. You'll start feeling those good vibes about him again, but still, we're not going to know anything until at least spring training, and then really not until we get into next season. So as you get ready to prepare for the 2022 season and you're thinking about your rosters, I would not count on any production from Keston Hira at this point. That will do it for this episode of Locked On Brewers. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Brewers. You can follow me at Shortstop Ball. Check out our buddy Vinny at Vinny Rotino as well. Also, make sure that you rate, review, and subscribe to the Locked On Brewers podcast wherever you get your podcast, and we will talk to you next time.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.